Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, with episode 54 of Tech to Go. I'm here again today with my co-host, Randy Johnston, from K2 Enterprises and NMGI Network Management Group, Inc. So, Randy, welcome today.
Well, good day, Darren, and welcome to all our listeners from around the country. As you know, I'm coming to you from beautiful San Diego today, which is a little different than that snowy Denver for a fall day.
Boy, it's hard to believe that Denver got that kind of snow yesterday, right?
It is amazing to me.
Yeah, I have one of my staff members in Boulder, and he was like, I don't think I'm quite ready for this yet.
Well, you know, there's so much going on from both a weather perspective and a technology perspective. I can't wait to talk to our listeners about what's happening.
Absolutely. So a couple of things today, Randy, that you and I kind of talked about before we went online is I think big issues. The first one, well, we wanted to talk a little bit about iOS 5, so Intuit's new, or not Intuit, iPhone's new operating system from Apple, which, you know, I installed on my iPhone 4 the day it came out. But then I happened to be in Palo Alto. I don't think I told you this. I happened to be in Palo Alto on the Friday that the iPhone 4S came out. And I was driving downtown Palo Alto on my way to a meeting just out of downtown, and I'm driving past the Apple store, which, you know, coincidentally is only about 8 blocks from Steve Jobs' house. And, I'm thinking the line's going to be all the way down the street. And there was nobody in line. Quite interesting. So I stop, go inside, get my iPhone 4S. I'm moving from AT&T to Verizon at this point. Okay, so stand in line for a little bit, getting it updated, and Guy Kawasaki comes in, you know, the first Apple evangelist. So I end up getting the opportunity to stand and talk to him for a little bit while we're getting our new iPhone 4S's up to date. Have you done it yet?
I have indeed, but I can't believe that you got to talk to Guy. He's a great person.
Yeah, it was fascinating to stand there and talk to him. So it was just the luck of the draw. So it was a lot of fun. I got to say, Randy, I don't know what I like so much about my iPhone 4S. It's a little, I noticed the speed's a little bit better. I've noticed Verizon service has been better than my AT&T service was. I know there's been a lot said about the Siri application. You know, I've used it a little bit, that sort of voice activation system that's built in, but I haven't used it a lot. How about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I've used Siri enough to know that it works, that it's good, but it is also not something that I do a lot. And frankly, that's probably more of a discipline and a lifestyle situation, because I tend not to be one of those guys that uses my phone a lot while I'm, let's say, commuting in the car. Or I also won't speak to my phone when I'm in a room with other people and so forth. So I don't really have the opportunity where the voice recognition makes a lot of difference to me. Now, I can tell you that taking it to a personal level with my children, that they use the voice recognition on both their iPhones or on their Motorola Droids almost exclusively. Google reports that on the Android operating system that over 56% of their searches are done with voice recognition on the Android platform.
That's pretty interesting.
It is. And so if you think about Siri being way more sophisticated than the Google voice recognition, I can see that, you know, a lot of people just use these products differently than I might on that front. The good news is the voice recognition works. The best reports on Siri is there's somewhere around 56,000, I believe it is, queries that have been set up. So it does respond with some bit of forethought. I think my favorite search on Siri is, what are you wearing? And Siri comes back and says, you know, I'm wearing, you know, glass on the front and metal on the back type of thing.
Yeah.
So it does have some forethought given by the programmers in this particular case?
You know, I usually, the things I've used it for so far, I'll tell it to call Michelle, which Michelle's my wife, and it goes and pulls up her number and it calls my wife. So that can be kind of nice. I will say that the camera, I end up getting the white one this time, Randy. I switched from the black one.
Yes.
I would say the camera is significantly better on this one. I would say that the recorder, you know, the video recorder is significantly better. Has that been your experience?
Yes, there's no doubt that the camera quality is better. There's been a number of studies showing that these different devices that we used to carry separately, video cameras, digital cameras, and so forth, almost all of those devices have a 50% plus drop in their usage with the new generation of cameras and video recorders in the phones. So one thing that may not be clear to our listeners is that even in the iPhone 4, and improved more in the iPhone 4S, was a camera technology known as HDR. And what HDR does is it automatically focuses at multiple points at the same time. So if you can think of, instead of having a single point of focus, having an infinite number of points of focus, you can actually shoot a picture and you can go to the place where the item you want to have in focus is in focus. It takes a little bit of software to process that, but it's there. So I'm looking at the camera inside the 4S as being sufficient for a lot of snapshotting and sufficient for a lot of the HD recording.
Yeah, I think you're right. The other feature that's built into this, you know, Twitter is now built in. So that's been, you know, kind of nice. I'm not a huge Twitter person, but it's been nice. Any other thoughts you have on the 4S, Randy, before we kind of move on? Because I have another topic I want to kind of talk through with you.
Understood. Well, you know, the one other key factor that is important, I think, on the 4S is it is dual core. That's why you get more speed. And, of course, that same dual core processor is what's in the iPad 2. And we know that Apple has already specified for next June the quad core version of the same chip. So at the risk of naming future products for Apple incorrectly, we'll say that the new iPad 3 and what will probably become the iPhone 5 will most likely be quad-core processors. So we're going to see more and more speed of these mobile devices. The new dual-core processor chip that's inside the iPhone 4 is roughly 40 times quicker than the machines, the computers we were using in 1995, just 15 years ago. So you've got to begin to picture you're carrying a computer in your pocket or your purse.
Pretty amazing. You know, with that comes challenges, though, I think, Randy, and one of the challenges is security. I wanted to run something past you. You know, I have a tendency to enjoy new apps that seem to come out, whether it is, you know, and there's some, like one's called M-Secure for your iPhone. It's an app to put all your passwords in, or to put some aggregation pieces of software on these mobile devices that may go out and, you know, download your bank account or your credit card information. What I'm starting to find is there's more and more of these apps out there that I seem to be putting my personal information in. And that's starting to bother me a little bit. What's your take on security on some of these mobile devices at this point?
Well, I am more concerned now than I would have been a year ago. And if you think about some of our prior podcasts where we talked about security, I believe that this period of 2011 over into 2012 will be, when we look back on it 5 and more years from now, we'll realize this was some of the times when we had the worst level of securities. Let's pick on a thing that's been happening. It's called smishing. S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G, smishing. And on cell phones, what's beginning to happen is bad guys are tracking your phone numbers and tracking your email traffic and tracking your surfing patterns, and they're using that to, in effect, spoof what you're doing. So let's just pick as an example a bank like Wells Fargo. Maybe you've got your business account there and you are getting notifications when transactions are made. What happens, the bad guys recognize that you are using Wells Fargo, so they send you a Wells Fargo-like message. And their attempt is one of a couple of three things. First, they're trying to capture the operational attributes of your phone so they can use those for other purposes. We'll talk about that in a moment. Number two, they're doing the typical old phishing attempt where they try to get you to click through and pick up your authentication for your bank records. But the big piece here is that they are trying to capture enough information about your phone that they can do or intercept or be ready to do payment methodologies from your phone. So as some of our listeners will recognize, up in the Bay Area, Google's been using near-field communications and phones as payment systems. The new iOS and the new Google Android operating systems all have these payment capabilities, and the bad guys are starting to intercept those as well. So I think we've got a new level of problem with theft from our smartphones and tablets. And at the risk of going on too long on this one, Darren, you know, we've been concerned about the internal controls of tablets and phones for a year plus, and I'm getting even more convinced now that it's a bigger problem than I thought.
You know, I think you're right. I'm just sitting here thinking. I've been getting some emails from Chase, which is a bank I like to use, but I know are not from Chase. I know they're phishing expeditions. I'm starting to wonder, is that being generated because I do a lot of activity on my mobile device with my bank? So interesting ideas. I mean, there's just a whole new level of security we have to be paying attention to right now. Above and beyond the fact that I'm putting my personal information in multiple different places, you know, to try to make life easier.
Yes.
What do you think best practices are right now as it relates to this smishing and putting your personal information in multiple places? What do you think best practices are right now with mobile devices?
Well, there's one clear piece of guidance, and that is that on any mobile device, phone or tablet, that you should have a minimum of a PIN code or a swipe code in use. On all of the different operating systems, whether it's Apple's iOS or whether it's Windows 7 mobile or the Android operating system, and maybe a little less with the BlackBerry operating system, if you don't put in a PIN code and a swipe code, your device is not encrypted. And if you think about security breach law, reporting with 46 states requiring that, and, you know, if you don't have the device PIN coded or swipe coded, you're in a complete reportable situation. And I think none of our firms that are listening would want that to happen. Number two, I think the next level to go up is to consider some security software. It may take additional software that does malware and antivirus and so forth. But at this point, all mobile platforms have now had a reported a virus on them. So just like our computers of old where we started to have to use antivirus, I'm not recommending to our listeners go do it right now, but I am going to put you on alert. It's just about that time.
So are there malware or security software apps designed already for the mobile devices?
Yes, there are, and none of them are really all that great, though, unfortunately, at this point, Darren. So as much as I want to recommend them, the cure is almost worse than the disease. They tend to cause the phones to lock up or the tablets to lock up. They tend to slow them down and so on and so forth. So unfortunately, at this point, not one that I can really recommend. Now, the technical publications have been reviewing these, and there's probably 10-plus providers that have been in the last review. Just can't quite put my I just can't recommend it. I can't do it with a clear conscience because I don't think it's better right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess from our listeners' perspective today, things we've said is iOS 5 is pretty solid, pretty nice application. iPhone 4S is a nice device. Pay attention to security issues right now. We've got to start really paying attention to what we're doing on our mobile devices. Would that be a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. And as the alternate platforms, Android 2.3 and 2.4, arrive, those will be fairly good upgrades, and they'll help us, just like the Windows smartphone was a nice upgrade. Now, one other minor thing, and I'll just call it minor, that I want our listeners to know about is this security piece has become a factor for commercial banks as well. The NSA has been working with brokerage firms and global and national banks trying to thwart some of the attacks that have been happening from overseas. And the NSA basically said, look, we're not sure who these attackers are. We know they're very sophisticated and opportunistic. And those two words are, quote, sophisticated and opportunistic. And right now, there are attacks being launched on a lot of the commercial banks. We also know that in the phones themselves, that they're using the phones and mobile devices as part of their attack strategies. So I just want, again, our listeners to be very aware that security is way back on the front burner in my mind with these devices.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, we're probably at the threshold of our time. Hopefully you have a great stay in San Diego for the next how much longer are you out there?
I'm out here for a few days. So, you know, again, there's lots of great cities around the country, but this is one that I enjoy very much, particularly when it is towards the wintertime. So I know a number of our listeners are in the Southern Cal area, and they get to enjoy it every day.
Well, I look forward to seeing you soon at some of the conferences. But with that in mind, thanks a lot for your time today. Great information.
All right. All the best to you and the best to all our listeners around the country.
Great. Thanks so much.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you'll be able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.